Welcome to Ask Peggy About Your Finances, because prosperity is so much more than money. Brought to you by writer, speaker, and certified financial planner, Peggy Doviak.
Hello, and welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. My name is Peggy Doviak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. This is a show to help you understand your money, and I've got some great topics this week, some of which are in keeping with the holiday spirit. First, we're going to look at what Jerome Powell said last week when he cut interest rates by 0.25%. Then, I'm going to talk about a new initiative designed to help people find retirement accounts that they've lost over time when they've left a job. In the Plan Your Prosperity segment, I'm going to help you create New Year's resolutions you'll actually keep. And then finally, in the Ask Peggy segment, I'm going to answer the question, Peggy, what's a Santa Claus rally? So let's get started with the Bulls and Bears market and economic update. This was for the week that ended December 20th, 2024. And there were a couple of pretty funky days this week, although the end of the week closed up, and today the market is up again. But last week, the Dow went down 2.25%, and the S&P 500 went down just a hair under 2%, with the NASDAQ going down by 1.78%. Gold was down 1%, as was oil. West Texas Intermediate Crude front month price, which is currently $69.90 a barrel. You remember I started tracking the VIX, the volatility index? It went up 32.95% last week, which probably also explains why the market dropped. The 10-year Treasury went up 13.10%, even though the Fed cut rates. That current 10-year Treasury yield is 4.536%. The dollar was up about 0.8%, and Bitcoin lost 10.68%. So what happened that irritated the markets so much that we had a couple of really hair-raising days? Now, mind you, when a drop is 1,000 points, that doesn't mean what it used to mean because the market is so much higher than it used to be. But still, a drop of 1,000 points in the Dow is kind of nausea-inspiring for all of us. Well, what happened is Jay Powell, the chair of the Federal Reserve, said that he was going to cut interest rates by 0.25% last week. Well, not just him. This is not a unilateral decision. And I think that's really important for me to make sure that I emphasize. So it's a decision by committee, really smart people looking at economic data, trying to figure out what's going on in the future, and then making judgments for things that really won't take effect for a year. So the Fed's always in a bad spot. What made the market mad was when Jay Powell said, yes, I'm cutting, but I don't think I'm going to cut as much as you think I'm going to cut next year because inflation is still stubborn. And he said, you know, there's a real lack of understanding about what future policy is going to be. He said it's not a political decision, but he's going to have to wait and see how things play out before he can give guidance. But right now, he is anticipating 2 quarter-point rate cuts. Well, the market had a tantrum, as the market always does when it gets news like that, and dropped kind of precipitously. At this point, December is flirting very hard with being a negative return, and the fourth quarter data has been badly impacted by what's going on in December. We're just going to have to wait and see. We're going to talk about the Santa Claus rally later in the show. That may help us out a little bit, strangely enough, because yes, it really actually is a thing most years. But I also think if there's going to be pain about this, it's better to, if you will, get it over with. It isn't like 2024 isn't going to be a great year in the markets. So if the market needed to do some correcting, Powell gave it a good excuse. So, you know, some of it is the market who not being happy with what Powell said. And part of it is the market just kind of wanting to correct anyhow. And so it takes actions because this was a very convenient time to do it. How will the year end? I don't know. I am taping December 23rd at 10 in the morning. The indexes are up at this point. Friday it was up. We'll see. I think that the government shutdown potential actually had a bigger impact on the markets. Now, I will also say this isn't something I'm hearing a lot on the business channels, but what I know to be true is that the markets hate uncertainty. And I know that when the government shut down, I think it was, oh goodness, it was 2018 or 2019, the market behaved badly during that time. We had a pretty significant market downturn. And certainly last week, there was a point where it looked like the government was going to shut down. So I think that played into it. I think that by Friday, there was a real sense that there might be another deal that might be on the table. And yeah, markets, for all their weirdness, are also kind of oddly optimistic. So I think that some of Friday's rally was hoping that this process was about to come to an end. I suspect some of today's rally is also a reaction to the fact, because when the markets closed on Friday, we didn't know. So you could still get market action today because there was so much uncertainty to cause the markets to go up a little bit in reaction to information that happened on Friday. So how much will the Fed be cutting rates? Looks like 0.5%. I'm really, really sorry for those of you who are trying to borrow money, because rates are high right now and it's going to create an issue for people who want to buy houses. But if they can get inflation under control, there's no guarantee that Powell won't lower rates more, but it's going to depend upon what's going on with inflation, what's going on with policy, where everything is, and then just kind of go from there. Right now, inflation is right about 3%, which is its long-term average. The Fed wants it to be at 2%, but it often is not. So it's not like we have galloping inflation right now. We don't. But the Fed is trying to just temper expectations, make sure people understand what's going on. The market got a good excuse to drop some points. And then we're just going to have to wait and see where we go from here. I will keep you in the loop. I will keep you up to date. I follow all of this news, so you don't have to do as much.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the legislative update of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And I don't know how I missed this really cool information. I try to keep up with things that are going on through legislation. And this is part of the Secure 2.0 Act that I believe it passed in 2019. It's the one that changed the required minimum distribution schedule for inherited IRAs. That's what most people know it best for. But lurking in the middle of that was a really cool concept, and that was the requirement to set up a database to help people who had left jobs, left their 401ks at their old jobs, never moved them to an IRA, never moved them to their new 401k, and then kind of eventually forgot about them. So this is called the Retirement Savings Lost and Found. And I also like titles that are very clear and you know what they mean when you read them. And this is being set up by the Department of Labor. The questions are going out and they're going to retirement plan administrators. And then the administrators, provide the contact information, or as much as they have, the name, any addresses if they have, social security numbers of separated vested participants who are 65 and owed those benefits, including deceased participants who would have been age 65 if they had survived and they have a beneficiary. So those are a lot of legal words, which basically means if you forgot a plan, or you forgot a plan and you died, but you have a beneficiary to the plan, all of that information is being provided to the Department of Labor, who is putting it into a searchable database. Then, because this is new, it's definitely a thing. This isn't something that might happen. This isn't proposed legislation. And right now, I just think proposed legislation is mostly a waste of our time, even though I keep talking about it a little bit. But this is happening, and this has already been mandated into law, and it's designed to help people find their old plans. Now, what I don't know is, are they going to reach out to people, or are they going to make the database available so that people can go look and see if they forgot something? So what I will tell you is, as I have more information about this, I'll keep you in the loop. I think this is a truly smart thing to do. You know, when clients ask me if they should leave their old plans at their old company's 401ks, it can be really easy for me, not wanting to look like I'm trying to just get assets under management, to say, yes, you know, that's all right. But here's the real flaw in that advice that sometimes I've given. If you forget about it, you're in worse shape. And having all your money in one location, it doesn't mean you're not diversified. I have people who think they need to keep their money in three different custodians to diversify it. That doesn't have anything to do with diversification. This is a public service announcement. Diversification is how the accounts are invested. In fact, if you have accounts all over the place, you are less likely to be diversified, because if you have five small accounts on the stock side, their largest holding is probably the S&P 500. You may not have as much mid-cap. You may not have as much small-cap. On the bond side, it's probably aggregate bond fund. You don't probably have any corporate exposure or international exposure. So five little accounts will have a tendency not to be as well diversified as one larger IRA, where you can look at all the asset classes and make good decisions based off of that. So, you know, and then the big issue too is just forgetting it. Now, in a perfect world, what you want to have happen when you ask an advisor about transferring from the 401k, the really correct way of doing it is to do an analysis of the fees at the 401k and the fees at the advisor. And this was part of a fiduciary template that, honestly, I'm expecting to go away again. But you can do it on your own. What are the fees? What are the holdings? What are the expense ratios of the holdings? In other words, if you've got mutual fund ABCDX, which I don't think is a real fund, then you need to know what it costs you every year to hold that fund. You should compare that fee to whatever the advisor is recommending that tracks the same asset class. So compare a large cap fund to a large cap fund, an international fund to an international fund, because they're going to have different expense ratios. You can't just start glomming everything together and make it work. And then you should weigh the cost against having everything organized and knowing where it is. Now, I'm not saying that you should go with somebody who's expensive, okay? I'm not giving you investment advice, but I am saying you need to weigh all of the information, and then you need to make the decision that will work the best for you. In the meantime, listen to the show as I figure out how you guys can access this, because they've just put together the questionnaire. They're just sending it out to the plan administrators. And then we'll see where it's going from here. I will let you know. I think this is an amazingly good thing. And then when you find the account, you have to decide what you want to do with it so that you don't lose it again. And there may even be more of a kind of an encouragement of the 401k plan for you to move it out, especially if it's not a big fund. But you'll just have to make that decision for yourself. And I'll tell you more when I know it.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Plan Your Prosperity segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And I don't know about you, but I am absolutely not ready for next week to be New Year's. I don't know how in the world it's 2025, and I know I've heard old people say that forever, but they're right. The year's just flown by. And so here we are, 2 days before Christmas is when I'm filming this or taping this. And then you will probably hear it just a few days before New Year's Eve. So, of course, it's New Year's. Of course, you make some resolutions. And I want to give you several pieces of advice. If you're a longtime listener of this show, you'll have heard some of it. But I'm actually mixing up some of what I'm doing with my own New Year's resolutions to try to have what I would call a really prosperous 2025. So let's start with the financial ones, and then we're going to go into some that absolutely have nothing to do with finances. When you create a resolution, you need to create something that is concrete. So rather than saying, I need to save money in 2025, you need to decide how much money that is. So if maybe you think you can save $100 a month, that's great. If you think you can save $50 a month, that's absolutely fine. But set a number so that you have a goal. That will help you actually get things done. By the way, if you're trying to lose weight, you kind of have to do the same thing. You need to know what you're trying to do so that when you get there, you have a sense of accomplishment. I have a tendency on my resolutions to be a little hard on myself, which then leads to me not getting things done, right? It's like, oh, I need to save money. Okay, well, oh, I need to save more money. Oh, but I can't save more money because I need to do X, Y, and Z. Then I just feel terrible all the time. So set a goal. And here's the second tip. Keep it a number you can do. So it's got to be concrete and it's got to be achievable. Vague will either make you crazy where you feel like you always need to be doing more, or the flip side, it'll make you feel like you can do less. And achievable keeps you from having a nervous breakdown trying to do it. There's actually nothing wrong with exceeding your goal. So maybe you're sure you could save $25 a month. Well, you know, $25 a month is $300 in a year. Can you retire on $300 a year? Probably not, but it'd be really nifty at the beginning of 2026 to have that much money in the bank. It would give you the possibility that if you needed to go make a semi-expensive purchase, you might be able to have the money there. So if your goal is $25 and at the end of the month you discover you have $25 extra, go ahead and put it in. And now you've put in $50. Like all budgeting, I do want you to put the money in at the beginning of the month. And I know that makes people crazy when money is tight, which is one reason why I want the dollar amount you're laying aside to be reasonable. Okay, I want it to be something that you can get through the month without having to pull it back out again. Whether that's $25 or $100 or $500, it all depends on your financial circumstance. So put it in, leave it in. And then if at the end of the month you discover you have another $25 or an extra $100, you can add that to it. If you have a financial resolution that is big, like you're wanting to save money to buy a vehicle, you want to figure out how much money that is. And then you need to divide it by a number so that that helps guide how much you need to save. if you need to have saved $10,000 over the course of the year to buy a vehicle at the end of the year, yeah, that's going to be about $800 a month, because 12 times 8 is 96. So break it into smaller pieces. Maybe you know you can't save that much, so you can accomplish two things. You can set a reasonable goal. So maybe the goal isn't the car you wanted, or maybe the goal isn't a car in December. So you can begin to adjust your goals. Your goals need to be related to how much money you have available. We get really wound up about buying things sometimes, and you're better served to postpone it or create a short-term solution or downgrade kind of what you thought you wanted. You know, you can get a program vehicle rather than a new vehicle and save thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So start thinking about your money. Start being realistic about your money. Start actually putting monthly numbers to what you need to accomplish. What it's going to do is give you control. When things are vague, you're very much out of control. And when you know what you need to do, you can either create a plan to do it or decide what you need to change so that the goal becomes achievable. If you work at a company and the company offers a retirement plan and they offer a match, I want you to take full advantage of the match. So if they give you 3%, you need to put in 3% too. Now there's 6% going in, which is an instant 100% return on your investment. I hear people say, I won't fund my company retirement plan because I won't invest in the stock market. That's a conversation for a different segment. But what I can tell you is you can choose to leave money in your 401k plan in money market. If you absolutely do not want to be in the market, still take the free cash. It's better than, one, the possibility you never save at all, and two, not taking advantage of that 100%. Keeping it in cash is likely not the best idea, but that's a risk tolerance conversation, and we'll have that sometime in January. And then the final step is don't give up. We tend to kill our New Year's resolutions by about March. So if it's March and you have not done anything, then create a May Day resolution where you start over again. Do not let great be the enemy of good. So keep up. And if you stop, go back. There's no shame in that. There's absolutely no shame in that. So those are all the financial ideas. I want to just throw a couple of other things out to you. I can tend to work a lot. And I can tend to feel that if I'm not working a lot, I'm doing something wrong. So one of the things that I'm setting as a New Year's resolution for myself, of course, the financial firm is first priority, always has to be. But sometimes I can get overwhelmed by the writing, which will tend to make me not write, just like people don't save money. So I am setting numbers that if I achieve it over the course of the day, I'm done. Okay, I can be done writing even if there are 5 or 6 more hours in the day. I'm also committing to doing some hobbies that I really love on a regular basis. And I'm creating a schedule so that one night a week, I'm going to make a homemade meal rather than lots of things of ways that I can acquire food without cooking. I'm going to invite friends over. That will also make me more accountable to not eating bean dip, and that will work well for my accomplishing something I really like to do. So as you're trying to figure out how to spend your time, look for what's wasting it. I tend to sit in front of the television. It's like, okay, not going to do that as much, and I'm going to get other things done that will make me feel good. I'm going to set where I can be finished with goals that will also make me feel good. And I'm much more likely to write every single day for 1 or 2 hours than I am to think I need to work 3 hours tonight when I get home from work, because sometimes that doesn't happen. So think about your resolutions, decide what's going to work for you, throw in some fun stuff, and that'll help keep you on track. And remember, accomplishable and measurable are the keys.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Ask Peggy segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. Remember, if you would like to submit a question to the show, you can go to askpeggy.com and click the link to submit your question. Remember, I don't give investment advice, so I'm never going to tell you what to buy or sell out of your portfolio. And there's a limit as to how much I can actually answer that isn't educational, because so many people have different circumstances. So what I try to do is give you broad educational answers. And that way, if you want to talk to your own financial team, you at least know what questions to ask. So today I'm going to answer the question, Peggy, what's a Santa Claus rally? And a Santa Claus rally is the average up market conditions that we have during the last couple of weeks of the year that runs through January 3rd. So this year, the traditional Santa Claus period is going to start on Christmas Eve, the 24th, and run through January 3rd. The reason the dates change a little bit has to do with where the market is open and closed and what day the holidays fall on. It's basically the last trading week of the market. And there's a lot of people hoping that the market will be good this last week. Since 1950, the S&P 500 has gained an average of 1.29% during the Santa Claus rally period. It doesn't always happen. It didn't happen last year, for example. And there are a lot of analysts who are saying because of the huge run-up right after the election, that might have been the Santa Claus rally and it came early. I don't know. I do think that it's fun to track things like this because it makes following the market a little bit easier. One reason why the market is more volatile that week is because there are fewer people on the trading floor. And the less volume there is, the more the markets will react to good and bad news. So because people tend to be in a good mood, because there don't tend to be awful downgrades announced right before Christmas, I guess unless you're Party City, which announced last week that it's going bankrupt, which makes me very sad. Not from an investing perspective, just from a I like their balloons perspective. But people don't tend to give bad news right at Christmas, which is why I think the thinner volume and the lack of bad news has a tendency to propel the market up a little bit. I think that's the science behind why the Santa Claus rally happens as much as it does. Now, of course, if there's bad news, like if there had been a government shutdown, there probably would not have been a Santa Claus rally because markets hate shutdowns. But if we have light volume, if we have basically good news, maybe we'll get a nice closeout to 2024. Then we'll have to wait and see what happens next year as the events unfold.
You may submit personal finance questions to the Ask Peggy Facebook page and learn more at PeggyDoviak.com. And remember, prosperity is so much more than money.